And you're with Margaret O'Connor on Community Matters on this absolutely freezing day. And I'm so delighted to have in the studio with me Marina Makepeace. Welcome, Marina.
Hi, Margaret. Hello, listeners.
Marina, you've come with something very exciting breaking news for today, the 16th of July.
That's right. We've got the opening of our competition for the Armidalen District Historical Society. It opens today, our historical relics competition, which is looking for objects from the local Armidale Council area that tell stories of the history of Armidale between 1863 and 1963, which is 100 years of local government in Armidale.
So that's amazing. I mean, we've had more than 100 years now. But we're talking historical society. I think this is the first competition I've ever heard of, and it's going to be a lot of fun, isn't it?
It's going to be a lot of fun. We hope for a great involvement of the community. We'd love First Nations representation. Mm. We would love intergenerational interest. So please think about what you've got in your collection, and hopefully if you can get all the forms filled in and you fulfill the requirements,
yep,
then we will have your object on display from September the 20th until November 29th at the Armidalen District Historical Society in Faulkner Street.
So with anything historical, there's dates involved now, and there's a location. So this relates to the Armidale Regional Local Government Area.
That's right.
So it's got to be so that the object should come from somewhere within that geographical area.
That's right. And we really want it to tell a true story of Armidale. The history and the heritage of this great city needs to be presented. And yep, that's what we're intending to do with our competition.
This is so exciting now, Marina. You've brought in some show and tell.
I have.
So what have we got?
Okay, well, I've brought in two objects.
So I'm looking at two objects. One's a little silver cup.
That's right. This was my late mother's baby cup. It has her name engraved on it. It was given to her by her grandfather. Mm-hmm. And you can see that it's got lots of little dents in it, and it's been used.
It's been used a lot, and it's possibly been thrown from an antique high chair.
Absolutely. It's got the scars to prove that it was used.
And her name was Adele.
Yes, my mother was Adele Makepeace, and I'm not sure you might have known her as Dell. But when she turned 60, she decided that she would go back to her full name, Adele. And, yeah, it's engraved with her name.
And it's got the full silver markings on the bottom.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's a bit of a treasure that I hold.
And she would have got that before plastic was available. I mean, I've just bought a little silicone feeding spoon and cup for my granddaughter. I'm sure it won't make it through into the history books, but it's designed so that when she chucks it off her high chair, of course, it doesn't break. But
yes,
that would have been, I suppose, these, you know, they talk about people being born with a silver spoon in their mouth or a silver cup.
Yes.
But how else would the children have had unbreakable?
Yes. Well, this is from 1937. Mm. That was when she was born. And I've got a gift for you to unwrap, so you can pretend you're the museum historian and you're going to unwrap this tissue papered gift that we will share with your listeners.
Oh.
I haven't opened it since my mother passed away.
Wow.
So if you would like to open it, that would be lovely. I can tell you the story of it.
Yeah, so look, I've got, it's just sits very comfortably in both my hands, and it's, you know, a round shape, slightly oval, and it's just wrapped in beautiful tissue paper, and you can hear me, it's gorgeous. You can hear me unwrapping it. Oh, there it is. And it's a beautiful I think they're peonies. It's a beautiful vase, and it says Mason's Chinese Peony, Ashworth Brothers, England, with some other maker's marks on the bottom, and it's white or cream with some gold engraving, a beautiful Chinese-looking vase with these decorative peonies. And it's a little bit marked, but absolutely gorgeous. And the peonies are sort of a mauvey purple and yellow. And there's some little green birds and some small flowers and a beautiful Chinese vase holding the peonies. Thank you.
Okay, the origins of this object from my mother's mother. Her name was Lila Lyons. She was from Sydney. She was the Great Gatsby-esque of Australian families in the 1920s.
Oh, so she was a flapper.
She was a flapper and she was a celebrity.
Oh, really? And Lila Lyons.
Lila Lyons, yeah. And she was the hand colourist of Minna and, oh, gosh, what's the other name? Anyway, the two women photographers in Sydney, and that was her career until she met my mother's father, who was career soldier.
You weren't thinking of Olive Cotton.
No. Other May and Minna Moore.
May and Minna Moore. Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Sorry.
Yep.
Had a blank there.
Yep.
And then she went on.
So she coloured their black and white photographs.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so she was a flapper, and her soon-to-be husband was Clifton Lambert from the station out in Queensland somewhere, and he was a career soldier. He was a captain, and then he became major in the Second World War, and he was in charge of all the vehicles in the Pacific.
Wow.
So
the motor vehicles that were on the islands in the Pacific. Right.
That's right. Anyway, and then they had my mum in 1937, and she's my first and forever love, and so I cherish these
items. Of course,
yeah. But my mum got married in 1958 and bought a milk bar with my father in Melbourne and decided once they'd saved all their money over 3 years and had two little boys to travel from Melbourne north to try and find a place to live.
Oh, okay, so and the milk bar was their money making.
That's right.
Yeah, as it often was, and they were very lucrative but very demanding.
Yes. Well, they worked 7 days a week for 3 years, bought a caravan, travelled and looked at every little town on the way, hoping to find their home.
Yeah.
And they got here in 1965 and set up camp down at the where the Tourist Information Centre is, used to be a caravan park.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, and they used to live there until they were able to buy their house. And the story goes, and you can correct me, anybody who knows the story, that my dad pulled up in his caravan at the top of the cemetery and met a fellow in his truck who was called Ray Chappell.
Ah.
And
Ray Chappell's a guest here on the show sometimes.
Oh, right. And Ray said, yes, this is a great place to live. Come here and I'll give you some work. And so I think my dad became a labourer for Ray. Ray was a builder and my dad was a cabinet maker. In fact, he was a designer at Fleur Meyer in Melbourne before the milk bar.
Right.
So all that mid-century modern furniture that people love were his designs. And so he then was able to, through working with Ray, buy his own business in Armidale. Mm. And they bought a home, and in 1969 they had me.
Right.
So I've been here.
Ever since.
Oh,
wonderful.
Yeah. So my mum, before she passed away, she said to me, you need to volunteer. And she was always a very good volunteer. She worked very hard for the Family History Society. She worked for Diabetes Australia, and she was a member of the National Party for many, many years, mm-hmm. and was their treasurer for many, many years. So she was very active in society. And so after my mum passed away, I was quite lost and had a terrible breakdown, and I thought, no, I better do as she says. And so from then I've been volunteering 2 days a week at the Armidale and District Historical Society, and one day at the Folk Museum.
Wow.
So objects are a bit of a passion for me, and this is why I came up with the idea of a competition where we could get everybody in Armidale involved, and we can tell lovely stories about the city that we live in.
It's amazing, because what I remember thinking many, many years ago, and I think it was in relation to reading Portrait of a Lady, which is an interesting novel, that, you know, the objects that we surround ourselves with are sort of traitors, because whilst we sort of deteriorate with the years, they don't often. They just sit there on our, you know, decorating our homes, or, you know, as these two, this beautiful little silver cup and this gorgeous vase, they don't really deteriorate. They don't show the sign, well, a little bit, but not the way we do. They don't see us passing from youth to old age. They don't have the same. So objects have this capacity, don't they, to bring back memory and our attachment to them as well.
That's right. And, you know, they can be damaged, they can be lost, they can be stolen. But those that remain are what we're looking for. If you're happy to be part of our competition, please feel free to get a form.
So let's break this down.
Yeah, sure.
So the forms are available, and so if you'll just explain, Marina, what you want people to do.
Okay. Well, there's a first step. The first step is to get a form, read it thoroughly, make sure the requirements fit what you're offering.
So it's basically a physical object.
Well, we're not calling for the physical objects yet. We are going to assess, and we're going to find the 10 most interesting items and their stories from a photo that you present with your form, and your entry fee, which is $5 for an admin covering. You can submit three entries.
Up to three.
And we will assess the 10 best objects and their true stories of Armidale. And if you're selected, the 10 most interesting will be exhibited from September the 20th. We'll have an opening down at the centre on Faulkner Street.
Yeah, that's the Historical Society's.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And they're in a historic building.
That's right.
Just around the corner from the post office.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then we will publish in our journal the stories and the images that come in. So everyone will be able to see the exhibit. It's an extended period of time. Yeah.
Okay.
What else would you like to know?
Well, I'm just going to let the listeners know all the details and entry forms can be picked up from the Armidale and District Historical Society. So that's that. And those hours of opening are this one.
10 to 4 every day.
So that's amazing, actually, 10 to 4. Armidale Regional Council will have copies of the entry forms. Armidale Library will have copies of the entry forms. Armidale Folk Museum and the Visitors Information Centre down at the Creeklands opposite the Pink Pub, as we used to refer to the Wicklow. So, or just in that Creeklands area, just down from the Coles Centre. So there's plenty of places to pick up a form.
That's right. Now, we do have size and weight limitations, so make sure you have a look at what we're looking for. We have the stories need to be 250 words or less. Mm-hmm. The application's open today for the selection process.
So today's the day. This is the launch.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And applications will close in just over 4 weeks. So you've got just over a month to get your entries in.
Right.
And we will then contact you if you have been selected as the 10 most in one of the, as one of the 10 most interesting objects for display. Mm-hmm. And then you can bring your object in. So hopefully
the object needs to be able to be brought in if you become one of the 10 that are selected.
That's right.
And there's prize money involved.
And there's prize money, yes. So we're looking for objects. They don't have to be precious or treasures. They could just be ordinary objects, but it's the story or what we call the provenance, which is really important. And out of that 10 most interesting objects for display, our celebrity judges.
Now, this is the other thing. The judges are a secret at the moment?
It's a secret. We'll have three celebrity judges who will choose the place getters, first, second, and third. The first place getter will receive $200. Mm-hmm. Second is $100. Third, the prize money is $50. Mm. And you also get an annual membership to the Armidale and District Historical Society with those place getters getting getters.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, so, and I imagine you, and so it doesn't matter how humble the object is.
No, not at all. They can be the items that have the most interesting stories. And I think your listeners might have seen a program that is very similar to our competition, which was the ABC's Tony Armstrong's program recently, where he was collecting objects from all over Australia for an exhibition. Well, I came up with this idea way before
Tony Armstrong.
Before Tony Armstrong, but it is in the same vein. And hopefully we'll have a lot of interest. And, of course, we're looking for membership at the Armidale and District Historical Society. Mm. We do have, like all organisations, issues with succession. And so we'd love to see intergenerational representation through this competition. And also we'd love new members.
Yep.
Would you like to know what a member actually is open to?
Sure.
Okay, so
if you become a member of the Armidale District Historical Society, these are the goodies.
Okay, the goodies are that we publish a historical journal twice a year, and you get that sent to you.
Yep.
We also have a monthly newsletter which has historical tidbits and information with it. We also invite you to a gathering at a pub where we have a dinner and we have a speaker. And the guest speakers are usually local people who've got interesting stories to tell about what's happening in Armidale or what has happened historically in Armidale.
But not only that, I mean, those are the membership entitlements, but, I mean, one of the other things that's I think is really precious is just understanding what a big and interesting place Armidale was. I mean, I remember when many years ago, someone who was quite old at that stage drove me all around Armidale and explained what it was like. You know, we had cordial factories. We made our own power. We had bread factories and tanneries and brickworks and the famous Armidale bricks. We were so self-sufficient.
That's right. Now, if you are interested in Armidale history, at our centre, which is a bit like a drop-in centre, you can come in for a cup of tea or coffee.
Yes, always a friendly greeting.
Yeah, you can talk to our lovely volunteers and the members there. You can borrow our books from our extensive library. We can research for you. If you're interested in something, we can look it up for you. We can find information for you. We have secondhand books for sale there, which are all about local history. And we often have exhibitions in our front two rooms, which are kindly donated by local families. So there's always something to see and something to do down at the centre, and we welcome everybody. Doesn't matter what age you are or what generation you come from, you're all welcome there. And we'd love to see you.
It's fantastic. And look, next door is the Folk Museum, and that's...
Well, next door is Nova. So we're in what's called Jumeirik Chambers, because it used to be the Council Chambers building.
Oh, right.
It's on the corner of Cinders Lane and Faulkner Street. And then you've got Nova, which was once our memorial library. And then you have the Folk Museum on the corner, which is that lovely old building with the wrought iron. And there's some really great things happening at the Folk Museum coming up. We've got new plans for new programs and new exhibitions. And there's a grant that has been sought, that's been approved, where we can give disabled people access to the building, which has been an issue in the past, as well as toilet facilities. We'll have a kitchen for the staff and the volunteers, and we will change up the whole of all the exhibitions, and we'll have some special ones. We're hoping to have a Peter Allen corner. We're hoping to have a Dame Nellie Melba corner, and that's one thing I would really love to see in this competition. I'd love to see a ticket from the Dame Nellie Melba Back Blocks tour that came through Armidale, and she sang at the town hall in 1909. So if anyone's got that elusive ticket out there, I would love to see that in our competition.
Because there's, you know, it was called the Back Blocks Tour. It's not that different to today.
No, and she was like the Swifty or the Beyonce or the Adele of the day. And she was well known internationally, and finally she decided that she really should look in her own backyard and come and perform for all the regional centres. And so 1909, she did that. I know. We've got a lot to look back on, and hopefully we'll look back with glee at the entries in this competition.
This is fantastic, Marina.
Thank you.
Yeah, so and of course, what you want as many young people as possible to get involved.
Absolutely.
And also First Nations people.
Absolutely. We'd love a First Nations representation. I mean, it's so important. History is so valuable.
And it's the history of all of us, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it is time that Armidale kind of did a bit of a shout-out for itself, I think.
I know. It is time. And, you know,
this includes Gyra.
It includes Gyra. It's the Armidale Council area. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we would love everyone to be involved and come along and have a look at the exhibition as well. And if you're interested, become a member. Yeah.
Fantastic. So, look, the critical dates are today up until August the 20th. So August the 21st is too late. It needs to be pick up one of those forms now. It's an actual piece of paper, and the photograph of that object, you would want that.
Yeah, we need an image. We need the forms filled in. We need an image of your object as the first step, and your story.
And it's 250 words or less. So
that's right.
Can't go on for too long.
No, brevity is key. In the future, we would love to publish a book, a standalone book, as part of the exhibition and as a lovely Christmas present.
Yeah.
But this year is our first year. It's a trial, and we will see how it goes.
Oh, it's very, very exciting, Karina.
Thank you.
And and look, we have an extraordinary history, and of course, I mean, so many rural places too, but why did they become the way they are? I mean, somebody said to me the other day, oh, that's right, I was over in Inverell, and they said, oh, always wanted to come to Armidale, but anyway, they've ended up very happily settled in Inverell for, you know, commercial reasons to do with their business. But they said, oh, my auntie just loved Armidale. She said it was so classy. You know,
it was such a bright centre for education, and a lot of us, you know, really thrived here. So, you know, our dates for the competition are a bit before my time, but it will show the development of Australia, of Armidale, as one of the most important centres in Australia. Yeah.
So those dates are 1863, which was the date that local government was established in Armidale.
Yep.
And right through, so it's 100 years. So it's a 100-year period. So the century between 1863, the beginning of establishment of local government, and 1963. So, look, any treasure, ordinary or extraordinary object, that you have that maybe you've always treasured, or you know that there's a really interesting story, you can pop that into a 250-word narrative with the image of that, and pop it on that entry form, and then they just deliver it to the, or post it to the Armidale and District Historical Society with your entry fee, which is just a little $5 thing to cover.
That's right.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Karina.
No, that's my pleasure, Margaret. And thank you to all the listeners who might think that they could be involved.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'll look forward to seeing those 10 shortlisted objects and then the winners.
Yes, well, I'll come back and we'll talk about the objects and the stories. How about that?
I think that'll be wonderful. Yeah.
Oh, great.
And I just want to say you can learn a lot from history. For example, that little tin cup that was your mother's, it's a beautiful piece of silver, but it's really quite battered and bruised around the edges. So I imagine she had a bit of...
It's well-loved.
Well-loved, a bit of cup banging as a
absolutely.
Toddler.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the kids were always kids. And before plastic, I know I've got an old mixing bowl of my mum's that was one of the very first sort of plastic mixing bowls. It's quite fragile, actually.
Yeah.
And it was a predecessor of Bakelite and things like that, I think. But it's interesting to think that plastic was so new, and
it's
relatively recent.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing I wanted to mention was that you can learn a lot from history. I saw one of Bronwyn Clark's exhibitions. I think she curated it along with Haley, I think, which was about the transition of women's fashion pre-World War One and to the end of World War Two. And, of course, you know, women were called upon to be nurses and engineers and workers. And they went from these incredibly frilly sort of bottom and boob enhancing sort of fashions to sensible skirts with big pockets and blouses, you know, brushing the ankles but with sensible shoes. And, of course, by the end of World War One, with women basically wearing these workaday clothes and doing not glamorous but such important work while the men were fighting World War One, the issue of the women having the vote was pretty much determined. Like, they're here working shoulder to shoulder with the men. Why wouldn't they vote? Why, how on earth? And the way in which, you know, the material arts can actually drive changes in mindset and the future. There's so much to learn from history and from objects, I think. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we hope that we will enlighten people about this city that we live in.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Look, thanks so much, Marina. And
thank you.
All the best with it. And everybody get out there and do the best you can with your objects. Get them in. And, of course, the thing is, the more the merrier.
Absolutely.
And if you don't win, who cares? You've had a go and you've had a little think about the things that are important to you. Or maybe it's something that's been neglected, but, you know, there's a story there. Make it hum, make it sing. Good. Thanks so much, Marina.
Thanks, Margaret.